cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on a Wednesday morning. Again, more news out of the Antonio Brown saga. This time a lot more serious, as he has been accused of sexual assault and rape by a gymnast that he knew from college a couple of years ago. The Antonio Brown saga just doesn't seem to end. Roger Goodell and the NFL will be looking into this. The Patriots will wait for the investigation to see how it plays out. But once again, a player in the National Football League, and this time a player with a reputation of being a problem, and not as serious as these allegations, but a problem nonetheless. And how does that affect the investigation, the way Roger Goodell is going to view this? Because on the one hand, you could say, look, do the investigation as clean as possible, right? Do it as you would any other player in the league. But there is going to be a level of knowing all the background that you know of this one individual, and how does it sway you when you hear her side of the story? Do you hear her side of the story with the image of Antonio Brown and all of the things? Again, just more of more annoyance than anything else, than a problem legally. Do you throw that into this when it is such a serious matter? Or do you say, look, I know he's done this, and I know he's done this, but I'm going to listen to these allegations and then give Antonio's team a fair response without the bias? It's not very easy to do, because we all do that, and we all do that in the court of public opinion all the time, right? Right? You get some really bad people who have done some awful things, accused of really serious stuff. You automatically go right to the conclusion, rather than saying, maybe I need to sit this one out a little bit. Maybe I need to wait till all the information comes out before I make a judgment. We're a very snap judgment society. The Patriots, they're not going to do. They're going to wait to see how this plays out, because look, they want Antonio Brown, right? They want Antonio Brown today. All of the drama that he had leading up to their decision to bring him on board, they were fine with in bringing him on board. If this turns out to be nothing, they get to utilize one of the more dynamic wide receivers in the game under their Patriot Way system. And if there is an issue and there is a problem for Goodell in the investigation, they'll act accordingly. But they're not going to make a move yet until the league does. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. By the way, I want to get to this baseball note, because, Ron, maybe you have a perspective of what's going on in Houston. But is Minute Maid Park and the baseballs there juiced by any chance?
Well, you know, Minute Maid's nickname is the Juice Box.
All right, because that's exactly what's been going on in the last three games. Listen to this. The last three games in Minute Maid Park, the Astros beat the Mariners 21-1 on Sunday.
Close game.
Followed that up with a Monday win of 15-0.
Came down to the wire.
And then last night, the A's said, oh, it's our turn, and they beat the Astros 21-7.
Don't know who the A's are.
Right. No idea. How did a bunch of no names put 21 runs on the board against the Houston Astros? Wade Miley gave up 7 runs in a third of an inning.
Well, he was confused because he thought he was there to throw baseballs for a home run derby.
That's what I was thinking, right? Is there a moment where he looks at the dugout and goes, Aflac, let me out of here. What are we doing? Please let me leave.
I just wish, if the skipper came out, if A.J. Hinch came out there and just went, I don't think you have the stuff tonight.
Yeah. You think? I gave up 7 runs and I've gotten 1 out.
I would love for Wade Miley just to go, you know what? Let me just, one more pitch.
Yeah.
I think I can get this guy.
Like, he should be looking at AJ going, all right, you ready? Can I get taken out now? Fine. Here's another one. Boom. Look at that. Here's another run. Here's another. I'm done, Skip. I'm out. I can't do this. Nah, stay in there. We'll come back. Don't worry about it. The Athletics put 7 runs in the first inning and then added 6 more. At one point in the, I think the fourth, what more do you go, all right, that's enough. They scored in every inning but the 7th and the 8th, put up 25 hits. These are football scores that are going on in Houston right now. This is 21 to, well, not really, because you can't get 20, you can't get 1 point, but 21 to 7. That's nuts. I mean, that's absolutely nuts for baseball. I spent a lot of time in Colorado. We'd get a couple of these games. They're not fun to sit through.
No.
Whew.
I mean, on the one hand, I think fans probably enjoyed Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, absolutely, you know. With the onslaught. But even with the onslaught, you're like, okay, geez. Yeah. I mean, I came here to see some competitiveness, not a little fun route.
Well, you know, honestly, we could probably blame Bobby Beats.
What would Bobby Beats do? Why are we blaming Bobby Beats?
Well, he didn't go to games on Saturday and Sunday. He went yesterday.
Now, well done, Bobby Beats.
Yeah, it's all his fault.
Nice job.
All his fault.
Nice job. 21-1, 15-0, and then a deficit of 21-7. Gosh, it's amazing.
Yep, but they're still ahead in points overall.
Exactly. Here's another baseball note to have a little bit more fun. And this was pointed out last night, and then Twitter just jumped all over this because it's actually pretty cool. Bruce Bochy, the manager of the San Francisco Giants, did you see this?
No.
His seasons as a manager in Major League Baseball run from 1995 to 2019, okay?
Yep.
His career record is 1995-2019.
Really?
Yeah. So as of right now, that's what his career record is as a manager.
He needs to retire.
He does. Peter Gammons brought that up. Peter Gammons said, just retire.
Step away right now.
Do not go back and let this be your awesome legacy in the world of numerology.
That's Hall of Fame worthy, if you ask
Unbelievable.
Me.
Unbelievable.
You have a plaque just simply because
Absolutely.
You can have this. And people years from now would go up and say, oh, I think it's a typo. They repeated the numbers. Nope, not a typo.
No, this is an amazing thing.
Retire now.
That is an amazing accomplishment.
Wow.
It really is because, when you think about it, how hard is that to get, how hard is it to get it to land like that? You're talking about hundreds of wins and losses here that have to be somehow manipulated through the world of numbers to come up with a time where your career record for wins equals the year you started managing and your career record for losses equals the current year you are managing. Stop right now.
Yeah.
You really should. If I'm his wife, I'm begging him to do this. Just retire. This is great, honey. You can retire. We can live our lives. And think about just the numbers in and of itself. You don't want to fool with the world of numerology. Don't mess with that. Don't play with fate. The number gods have given you an amazing reason to stop. Just stop managing baseball. Gammon says, though, he goes, you know, he is 5 wins away from 2,000, and people want 2,000, but I like this better for Bruce Bochy. Take that. Go. That's amazing.
He's got to retire.
He's got to retire. He's got to call it quits.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. What a night in baseball, though. The Yankees hit 6 home runs and lost to the Tigers.
Well, they're not the A's.
These home runs are unbelievably a lot. They're incredible. I mean, they're just every team is blasting balls out of ballpark.
I'm maybe going on a limb here, Tony. There might be something to this juice ball.
I think Verlander was right on the money. There is way too many
of
them.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Verlander's not helping his cause, though.
No,
you know,
no.
Shutting down teams
exactly.
One right after the other on his way to a, I think what will be his third Cy Young or fourth Cy Young.
Well, remember, we said it was a win-win for him at the time, right? Because if he fails, if he stinks, he can just go, well, he did say that baseballs are juiced. And if he starts mowing down people, striking out 15 and, you know, limiting teams to 2 hits and no runs in 7 innings of work, then he looks like even a better pitcher than we ever thought possible, right? Pitching a no-hitter, shutting out teams, allowing 2 hits over 6 1/3. like all of a sudden now you're like, and the balls are juiced and he's able to do that. That's incredible. What a great, what an amazing pitcher. So it was a win-win to make that comment for him because it gives you almost a built-in reason for failure. Like if you fail, you can go, well, I really didn't fail. The balls are juiced. What do you want from me? And then when you do great, you go like, well, I'm even overcoming that. So the Yankees hit 6 home runs. That's all they do is
hit home runs. They have nothing.
Everybody on that team, everybody on that lineup is hitting home runs. It's insane. And I look, if you're a Yankee fan, you hope it carries over into the postseason. Because when you go up against Garrett Cole and Verlander and Dallas Keuchel. What's the other guy? Zach Greinke. They got I think Keuchel's rotting away in Atlanta. You got an Astros pitching staff. You better start hitting home runs against them. So, and the Philadelphia Phillies, they hit 5 home runs last night too, including an inside the park home run. And I feel, and I don't know the statistics, it's just a gut feeling, I feel like that's up too, the inside the park home run. I feel like there's one every other week. And those are not easy to do. But home runs are flying out of ballparks all around America. I hope it goes into the postseason. But it's unlikely that it will be. When you face teams that are, you know, playoff caliber teams, the reason they're playoff teams is because they have outstanding pitching.
Yep.
And so that is the obviously all these teams can hit, but you face outstanding pitching, and that usually takes you into the postseason. The Yankees might be a different breed, though.
No, they're going to suffer in the playoffs.
Well, they don't have a pitching staff.
They don't have a pitching staff at all. They got to be hoping, I guess, you know, maybe start saving some of the juice that they have and unleash it during the postseason where they're hitting like 30 home runs a game, because that's the only way they're going to win.
Well, think about this. The leader on the Yankees for ERA is Masahiro Tanaka with a booming 4.53 ERA.
Yeah, that's low.
Yeah, that's yeah. It's giving up nearly 5 runs a game.
Wade Miley was like, hold my beer.
Yeah, right? Jeez.
I can best that.
So when you have that going for you, you have to hope, if you're the Yankees, that A, you win these slugfests, or two, that guys in your rotation just have lights out performances are a little bit beyond normal.
Their pitcher with the lowest ERA and their staff is, you know, is over 4 run deficit, right? So you just give up 4 runs immediately. Yankees go out and say, you know, okay, we just got to get 6 home runs.
Yeah.
They do it and still lose.
That puts them, that 4.38 team ERA, it's 14th in Major League Baseball. That's not good.
Yeah, that's not going to cut in the postseason.
It's not good. So you better hope the bats are alive and well and you're just pounding the ball out of ballparks wherever you go, facing the Indians, facing the Astros, or whatever wild card team you have to face. Whoever it is, you better hope you start pitching. Because the Yankees are a team that, again, they're just getting production everywhere. I mean, just everywhere. It doesn't matter. There's no dead spot in their lineup. But how many times have we had teams similar to that just get, you know, where they just can't? It's almost infectious, right? The top of the order can't hit, so the middle of the order can't hit. And then the middle of the order can't hit. The bottom of the order absolutely can't hit. And now you've got a pitcher going out there going, I have not done this in a while, or I'm just constant trying to strike out guys, keep guys off base. I'm not used to this. I gotta throw everything I can out there, gutsy performance to try to put out a victory. And that's the Yankees are going to have to do that because the pitching is just not quite there yet. All right, it's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with 2 N's. We'll come up. We got Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up this hour as we continue on a Wednesday on SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, prepare for road trips before your travels begin. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So SI legal analyst Michael McCann has weighed in on the story we told you yesterday that I told you you should be paying attention to if you are interested in the future of college athletics. The state of California voting to approve a bill. It's got to be sent to the governor for signature that would allow student athletes to make money off of their image and likeness in the state of California. So Michael McCann, I like his articles, and I will tell you because there, all of the stuff that occurs in sports, we get into X's and O's, and this coach needs to do this, and this player didn't perform well. But there's also a lot of legality that goes on in the sports world that affects sports in general, and whether it's processing the investigation into the latest allegations against Antonio Brown, to a situation like this where a state has come up with a potential law that would forbid schools from basically preventing their players from making money off their image and likeness, and how this goes against the NCAA. And we threw out a lot of interesting questions on how this would affect college athletics. And while Michael McCann wrote about this piece, in not getting into total specifics as what will happen to the Pac-12, he does point out that if you are California, you are these schools in California, you're going to be put into this really awkward position. Because the NCAA could state, because they are the governing body of their own thing, they could say to schools in California, you're no longer going to be able to participate in championships in any sport. So, you know, if you are a good baseball team, Cal State Northridge, too bad. You know, you're not going to go to the College World Series. If you're a potential national championship football team, USC, forget it. You're not going to play. I don't know how that would work, actually, because the NCAA doesn't run that. The BCS runs that. But the NCAA could prevent teams from going to the NCAA tournament based on this. But schools would have two choices, and they're not really envious at all in these two choices. They're actually awful choices. You could break California law and thus be sued by your players if you were to suspend them or make them ineligible to participate in athletics for doing this. Two, you'd be breaking NCAA rules, which could prevent your school from maxing out its potential economics with being forbidden to let their championship-level teams participate in California NCAA championship contests. So if you are USC and UCLA, and some other Pac-12 schools can't be on board with the same thing. And the Pac-12 says, okay, the NCAA is forbidding it, and we're also forbidding it. Do you break away from the Pac-12 and form your own conference with other schools from California, even if they are of a lesser degree than you? So there's a lot of interesting, compelling thoughts of how this is going to play out. Now, I personally hope this kind of balloons into other states doing the exact same thing and almost basically preventing the NCAA from enacting any of its rules preventing this. Now, as we said yesterday, and if you're kind of new to the story, one of the things that is very, very important to understand about this piece of legislation, this is not schools paying players. That's different. This is just an athlete able to just make some extra money using his own image and likeness. The best example of it is autograph shows. You're the star quarterback at UCLA. Somebody wants to pay you $10,000 to put your signature on a bunch of items. You can go do that under this bill, which would actually start January 1st in 2023, if it does get signed into law by Gavin Newsom. So if you are a big-time basketball player at Cal, and somebody wants to put you in a TV commercial for an auto dealership, you can do that too. But this does not mean the school is cutting you a check for your services as a student athlete. It just means you can make a little extra money on the side. Now, some athletes will not get to use this at all because they will not be in demand for their image and likeness in any capacity. Some will have everybody knocking on their door. But this is a lot different than what a lot of people want to see, which is the actual piece of the pie that schools are getting for college football, NCAA basketball tournament, sometimes in college baseball, whatever it is, being divvied up among the student athletes in and of itself. So instead of building these really fancy virtual reality locker rooms, then you could actually cut the players a little bit of a check and have them give them some walking around money. Now, it's the other issue with this, obviously, becomes, you know, a situation becomes recruiting. And McCann's article at SI.com really doesn't get into that as much, but he does say it does create a ripple effect where if it's successful, like if you start noticing, oh, yeah, guys, then you will see, like we talked about yesterday, state legislatures rushing to sort of get a bill passed as quickly as possible to join this movement. And to me, again, I think it's a very important story. I like the follow-up because it answered some of the questions that we had yesterday. I mean, what do you do if the Pac-12 prevents you from doing it? What if the Pac-12 said, okay, Joe Smith, your quarterback, is taking money, and while that's legal in your state, it's against our rules here in the Pac-12. So he's ineligible to play in games in the Pac-12. If you want to play a game against Texas out of conference, and Texas, you know, that's fine, but in Pac-12 contests, he's not allowed to compete. But even the Pac-12, I think it could extend its tentacles into non-conference games too. Saying any representation of the Pac-12 with this athlete is a violation. Now, to me, it's similar in this regard, right? Think about it this way. State of Colorado, smoke it up. No problem. Smoke it up publicly. Marijuana is legal. But the NFL doesn't recognize that legality to the members of the Denver Broncos. If you are a Denver Bronco player and you test positive for marijuana, you are suspended. Doesn't matter if it's legal in the state of Colorado. Doesn't matter if it does, you have no trouble with the law in Colorado to do that. It's against the law, against the rules in the NFL. Same thing here, right? The players will be able to do this in the state of California, but it would break a rule in the NCAA and maybe the Pac-12. And that's where these schools are going to have to figure out where their allegiance is. As we said yesterday, if you're the NCAA, you tell the Pac-12, cool it. You better not be supporting this bill. You better be coming out actually lobbying against this bill. But I think it's just going to be hard to get every, once they see this, I think it's a domino effect. I really do. I think once the state of California passes this, I think you're going to see other states doing the exact same thing. There is a bigger movement. It feels to me anyway, in 2019, there's a bigger movement by a lot of people in politics to start changing the way the NCAA does business. Now, will we ever reach a point where these institutions actually cut a check to a player? I don't know. That's a really, to me, that's way down the line.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll
see it. But this is the first step to try to get some sort of balance to what we're seeing in college athletics.
I mean, you say that, but then again, all these schools have team stores, and if I'm maybe 20 years from now, you see a player can earn some money off of
maybe
his T-shirt.
Maybe so. You're right. Maybe so.
Off his jersey sale a hat or whatever.
Do you remember it was 2000? I think it was 2011 when UConn won the NCAA tournament and one of their players talked about like going to bed starving.
Yeah.
Remember that? And then the school was like, wait, no, they're not starving. In fact, we're opening up the food for any time they want it. Right? Like they changed based on this one huge moment for this athlete to say to a national audience, hey, things aren't as rosy as you think they are for us college athletes. And the university went, oh, yeah, we got to start changing the food policy here. If like one of our athletes is willing to go on a national stage, millions and millions of people watching, and make this claim about our school, we better change it. And I feel like that's the way it is with players. Look, I don't know, maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, you brought up paying players, but like, stop it. You're getting a college education. Shut your mouth. Right? And now it's like, wait a minute. I don't know, though. This is like a $1 billion industry, and some of these players lose their scholarship after getting hurt, and there's no real protections. Like, you're starting to see people go, maybe there's a new way to do this business thing. Like, maybe there's a new way to do this. This is not that. Remind you, this is not that, paying players. But I think it is a way to put a little bit of equality in this process so that the players can actually go, you're making money off me and I'm going to make money off me. How about that? SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
It is the good, the bad, and the dumb here on the Wednesday on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, let's get to the good.
This is a good with a slight maybe, you know,
uh-oh.
Right?
Yes.
The governor of Louisiana treated the Little League World Series champions to a dinner of sold-out Popeye's chicken sandwiches.
No!
So, on the one hand, this is great for those kids.
Yes,
fantastic. Great job. I don't know why people in high authorities who like to welcome teams that have won championships are moving to fast food. But who cares? But yeah, I mean, these kids all got Popeye's chicken sandwiches. I mean, I know it's, you know, it's Louisiana's kitchen, right?
That's
right,
the
tagline. So, I mean, obviously they had some pull.
I was led to believe there was no more Popeye's chicken sandwiches available to anybody.
As was the rest of America. Not since about mid-August.
If I was one of those players, I would have eaten one, taken another one, and put it in my bag and sold it on eBay.
Sold it. Because there wasn't a rapper that was trying to sell it for $5,000?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I don't like sandwiches that much.
Yeah.
Let's get a little crazy.
What am I going to do, put it in a glass case?
Oh, my God. That is just unbelievable.
I may be able to burn $5,000, but I certainly can't eat $5,000.
Right. Exactly. Well done, though.
Yeah, no, I thought, I'm just like, hey, this, I mean, what a treat. Because they probably didn't get a chance at all during the World Series.
Yeah.
These are finely tuned athletes.
That's right, exactly. Give them some chicken sandwiches from Popeyes.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's like when Bush gave Clemson all that fast food.
Nah, you mean,
Trump.
Yeah.
Stupid me, Trump.
Trump, when he made out all the McDonald's and Burger King and Taco Bell. And
here's your champion's dinner.
Yeah, although, be honest with you, God, how much fun would that be?
It would have been a blast.
Because, I mean, I know for you, for a fact, I mean, I'm going to assume that it's fact that you have never gone to McDonald's and Taco Bell on the same night.
No, I have not. As craving junk food as I have in my life, I've never done that.
There's a certain limit.
I have wanted to, but we Americans hold to.
It's one of those unwritten rules.
Yeah,
that you cannot venture to two fast food restaurants in the same night for the same dinner.
And the reason I liked that was because these athletes, they're big guys, they're football players, and they don't eat like that during the season. You know, they don't eat like that during the season. And so one gorging day.
We just got done talking about how they don't eat at all.
Exactly, right? And one gorging day on just awful fast food that tastes delicious, good for them.
Yes.
And this Popeye's fried chicken feast, chicken sandwich feast, that these Little League, they deserve it. They won the Little League World Series.
I can't wait to try it.
I mean, either. It better be good.
I got to know now. Okay, you know, sidebar. Why is it so hard for them to come up with another sandwich?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Because I'm thinking that this is all a ploy to drive revenue when they say, hey, it's back, kind of like the McRib.
I agree. The McRib is treated like it's made out of gold and rare emeralds.
Yes.
When it comes out.
And like, most
go
of
get
the time,
it now. It's,
most of the time, I mean, there's a lot of sauce on that McRib to get swallow it.
That's right. That's right.
So, yeah, Popeye's chicken waffles for our Little League heroes.
So good for them.
Yeah.
And congratulations on winning the World Series of Little League Baseball.
Just kind of had a feeling like, I can't remember the guy's name in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Like Slugworth or something like that.
Oh, yeah, Slugworth, yeah.
So, was that his name, Slugworth? Where did he go up to each individual kid and go, hey, I'll give you $200 if you get that chicken sandwich to me?
Yeah, exactly. Give me that chicken
sandwich.
There's
just a guy just who heard the tip that they were getting chicken sandwiches going around to each of the kids.
What an unbelievable social media phenomenon that chicken sandwich has become.
It really was.
Really amazing. That was the proper use of social media to promote a product.
Yep.
Because on its own, it was a chicken sandwich at a fast food joint.
Well,
everybody's got them.
And it was there.
Yep.
It wasn't like it just became a new item on the menu. It had been there, I think, for a couple of months, and nobody was buying it.
So they properly used social media to get people not only excited to buy it, but absolutely desperate to buy it, and that's a win-win for them. Good job.
Yep.
Well done. All right, what is the bad today?
The bad of the day is that the you know Storm Area 51, the creator.
Oh yes, I saw this.
Yeah,
I was wondering if you were going to put this in your.
Of course, I'm a big I'm a big guy when it comes to Storm Area 51. I really would, if I could, I would attend it. But anyways, he is severing ties with Alien Stock Festival because he's calling it the Fire Festival 2.0.
Oh really? Because he can't. He can't put it together, or is he worried about what the government is telling him?
No, he's just saying that, no, listen, I mean, what you know, it's kind of funny because here's what's happened, right? So 2 million people, you know, go back in the Wayback Machine, 2 million people have liked his Facebook post or his Facebook event announcement saying let's storm Area 51. Ever since then, the Air Force issued a warning, sports books have been setting on, hotels being booked to capacity, simulation videos being created of what would happen had they stormed Area 51. Strippers have been ordered, and the FBI actually showed up to his house. Now he's saying he's out because his co-sponsor with the concert, he doesn't believe she hasn't provided all the proper paperwork for him.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
You know, so he's thinking it's going to be Fire Festival 2.0
sure.
in Rachel, Nevada, which is a small little town. Outside of where Area 51 is. But don't fear, he's going to hold his own thing in Las Vegas.
I can only imagine the influencers that show up, right? Oh my God, we're here at Alien Stock, and I don't see an alien. I was promised an alien, and
yeah.
And then also, I don't know, there's no aliens, and I got this cheese sandwich, and I absolutely just find this disgusting. And they made me sleep in a trailer, and I was promised a 5-star villa hotel in the middle of the desert, and I don't know why I can't seem to get that. What's happening with this festival? This is a disaster. No aliens and no hotel.
And see, this is why it's bad, because we're going to miss out on the documentary.
That's right. I love the documentary.
Because, you know, I have to imagine there's going to be a lot of people who are planning on going to this. There's going to be a rogue group that splits off and does, in fact, try to storm Area 51. I need to see that video.
I just like the way the government is basically saying, in a nutshell, okay, guys, all right, we appreciate your enthusiasm for Area 51, but if you invade, we're going to kill all of you.
Yep.
That's basically what they, without coming out and saying that, they're trying to hint that they will do that.
All the while still confirming that there is no such thing as Area 51.
Right, exactly. If you invade this area, something's going to happen. We don't want to say what will happen, but we've got some weapons that might be discharged.
Yep.
Figure it out, peoples, without us saying we'll murder you, but don't come near us.
I mean, okay, the government has acknowledged that there is a base there, correct? They have.
This is beyond my pay grade. I don't know.
I think they've acknowledged that there's a base.
I think
there
is either.
That's just, you know, for experimental flying, you know, experimental jets and things like that. Stuff they want to keep secret from the rest of the world.
Right.
I know they've always denied that, you know, there's aliens there.
Right.
But I think they have acknowledged. I mean, you know, there's too much evidence now supporting that there is a base there.
Well, yeah. I mean, isn't it?
You can go to Google Earth and you can see that there's a base there.
There's a base there.
There's a big old runway.
Yeah.
There's an airline that takes off from Vegas every morning. Once a week.
I mean, I used to live in Vegas and I knew that the baseball team was called the 51s. It is now. It's still the 51s, I think. Just because of that base.
Yeah. So I mean they just don't acknowledge that there's alien activity there.
Right. So, okay. But don't mess with the base.
I'm feeling cheated that we're going to miss out on a great documentary.
I think so too. This could have been really great.
It could have been fantastic.
It
I mean,
really
we would have seen
been.
All the people that you've been talking about.
Yeah, completely. I would have loved.
I'm kind of bummed by this.
God.
I mean, who wants to see what we're going to see? If we get a video now, we're going to see him put on a show in the Las Vegas Convention Center. I mean, that's going to look
right?
like every club in Vegas. Who cares?
Yeah. Exactly. Who cares?
You know, you're going to make water come from the ceiling. Woo.
At Area 51.
Yeah. Area 51. Out in the desert. Rogue group splits off. That's what I want.
Exactly. God. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. I'm going to give it to Odell Beckham Jr.
What did he do now?
Well, he you may have heard that he was rocking some serious hardware.
Yes.
On his arm for last Sunday's game. A watch that is worth over $250,000.
A $250,000 watch that he was wearing in an NFL
game. Yeah. So he has no plans to stop wearing it, despite the NFL saying, hey, you can't wear that on the field. He's going to wear it again.
Yeah. He says it's plastic. He says the watch is plastic, yeah, so it's no big deal. Is that true?
I think so.
Please tell me that's an Onion story that I just casually stumbled upon, because I can't believe that watch is plastic. It's got metal pieces on it, right?
I think somewhere in there, yeah.
God, what makes a watch like that valuable? Like, what does it have that makes that watch so valuable? Is it the way it's precisionly designed? It doesn't have diamonds on it, does it? Does it have jewelry in it?
It's got to.
If it's that valuable, it's got to do something else than just be an accurate timepiece. It's got to have, it's possible, and watches are like a lot of other things where the brand sometimes overrides, puts a more value on it than what the watch is actually worth.
Yeah. So, right? Here's his argument. It says, you've got to look into the rule book. It says you can't wear any hard objects. The watch is plastic.
All right. So that wasn't an Onion story.
No.
He really did say his $500,000 watch is plastic.
He says people have knee braces on that are hard and made out of metal, and you don't see them taping it up. No jewelry on. So I'm good.
Is he good? Aren't you good if the NFL says you're good?
In the grand scheme of things, this is, white noise compared to what Antonio Brown is doing. I mean,
right.
If Antonio Brown had not done anything, we would say Odell Beckham Jr. is being a diva again.
I kind of want to know more about the plastic $500,000 watch.
Right. Where can I get one?
Where can I get one?
I'm asking Santa for it.
When I went on my trip, cruise, we stopped off some islands, and we went into these like Swiss watch places to see expensive watches, and it was nuts. Like, how these were great looking timepieces that were like $15,000. This is $500,000. It's made out of plastic, unless it's some space age plastic
made from Area 51.
Right, made from Area 51. Or what if it's like a Wakanda plastic where they could do superpowers and we don't even know about it? What kind of plastic? That's amazing. Maybe all the pieces are plastic.
God, it retails for $350,000.
$350,000 watch. Amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Incredible. And he thinks he can wear it. Okay. I'd wear it until the NFL threatens to kick you out of a game.
Looking at this watch. I mean, it is pretty cool. I don't know why it's $350,000.
Is there a brand name? I want to check this out. Is there a brand name on that watch?
Yeah, Richard Mille. It's all you got to do is RM11-03.
Oh my God, that came up immediately. Yeah. Well done, Google, for listening into the conversation.
The bracelet part of it's black rubber.
All right. This is, I'm looking now on one on eBay for $157,000. Another one on eBay for $219,000. Yeah, you're totally right.
I'm looking at it. It doesn't look like it has any jewels in it. It just looks.
No.
It
does not.
I'm looking at this watch. I couldn't wear this because I'd have a hard time figuring out what I'm looking at.
What does he need a watch for while he's on the field?
Well, I don't know.
Know what time it is?
Does he set the timer? Because it's not a digital watch.
No, it's a beautiful analog watch.
So, but is there a way he sets a timer so he knows how much time is left because he's too bothered to look at the scoreboard?
Well, you know what he's going to do? He's going to do that annoying thing that people do with watches when you're in a conversation with them and they start looking at it.
Right.
So Freddie Kitchens is going to go, hey, Odell, I need you to concentrate. Now, stop looking at your watch while I'm talking to you for a second. He's going to end up doing that. That's what people do. Like, I hate that. When people with watches, you talk to them and they immediately look at their watch. That's what he'll do. That is dumb. But this is a plastic watch. You're right. Well done. I'd wear it until the NFL threatened to take me off the field. Like, said, you're not playing.
You would
playing.
Do it?
I'd pay the fine. If I was him, I'd pay the fine if they're just fining me. And I would, because he's giving them so much pub on this. They're probably going to give him 10 of these. I would wear it until they said, you're not going on the field. You will not play with that on.
So that's what I would do. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Wednesday, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Odell Beckham Jr. is wearing the watch because...
According to Mr. Millay... The watch is made by Richard Mille.
Yep.
This watch in particular, he only made 500 pieces, so that's why the price is so expensive.
Oh, I got okay, great. So it's a rare watch.
But since the brand began, Mr. Mille only forms partnerships with athletes who commit to wearing a Richard Mille watch while they perform their sport. They provide the ultimate proving ground for the highly complicated timepieces that are created to be ultra comfortable and precise timekeepers in extremely challenging physical conditions.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So I'm thinking maybe he's angling for an endorsement.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, he probably does.
Rafa Nadal, he wore a Richard Mille watch during this past U.S. Open. And Bubba Watson wears one, too.
Bubba Watson wears one as well, huh?
They're both brand partners with Richard Mille. Beckham is not. So maybe Beckham is trying to become one.
I think it's worth it. Just keep wearing it until they tell you... We're threatening you to not play.
Richard Mille will pay the fine.
Pay the fine. SB Nation Radio.